Agony left him then, replaced by the sheerest rage. He charged along, lifting his axe up high and shouting, "Moradin!" at the top of his lungs. As much a curse at the god as a plea for strength. How thin his voice sounded against the rumble of the giant's laughter. The giant turned around, apparently unaware of Brunner, and reached for a stone. Its huge eyes widened at the sight of the dwarf, and widened some more when Brunner, the strength of Clangadin's Silverbeard coursing through his muscular arms, flung the axe with all his might and never slowed in his charge behind it. End over end, the newly bloodied weapon sailed, its silvery head catching the last rays of daylight in dramatic flashes. The giant dropped both its club and the rock and brought its hands up to block, but the missile split the gap between its fingers and turned perfectly in its last rotation, the axe blade creasing the giant's nose and cracking hard into its face right between the eyes.
"Whoa!"
it moaned, fingers flexing repeatedly, but not daring to grab at the embedded weapon. Its big eyes tried each to look in, crossing in a confused and dizzy manner. And so with double vision it noted the second missile, the living missile that was Brunner Battlehammer, leaping from the ledge and flying in, shield forward. The collisions blasted the breath out of Brunner and sent waves of agony burning through him. He knew that he had smashed his shield against the back of the embedded axe at least, and he knew the giant was falling, for he found himself descending above it. He felt the second impact, the earthquake it seemed, when they hit the ground, but that was all he knew. He didn't realize that he was bouncing away, over the behemoth and along the ground. He didn't know that he came to a stop, all twisted and broken, at the feet of Ragged Dane, with the other four of the dwarf scouting party close behind, and with a gang of orcs only a short distance behind them. Chapter 14. Cultured Society. The Year of the Third Circle, 1472 DR. Delphuntal.
"He did well to get as far as he did,"
Pericolo Topolino said to two of his captains, a halfling prestidigitator aptly named Wigglefingers, and the grandfather's most trusted advisor, his own granddaughter, Donala Topolino.
"I had a bead on him halfway up the building,"
Wigglefingers protested.
"I could have blasted him from the wall with ease."
"He is just a child,"
Donala argued,
"and it took you half the building to sight him."
Wigglefingers ran his fingers down one end of his deliciously curling black mustache, glanced at the pretty young halfling socialite out of the corner of his brown eyes, and gave an unappreciative,
"Hmm. Has he awakened yet?"
An obviously amused Topolino asked, and indeed, he was often amused by the continual banter of these two. It was all in good fun, after all, and they were the best of friends when not vying for his attention. There were rumors that Wigglefingers, Topolino couldn't even remember his real name most of the time, was even quietly training Donala in some clever magical suggestion techniques, just to make her information gathering more lucrative to Murata Topolino.
"You shot him good,"
Donala replied,
"and perhaps with too much of the poison for one so little."
In response, Pericolo snapped at the handle of the weapon in the holster at his side, drawing it in the blink of an eye. As it came forth from the cleverly designed scabbard, the spring-loaded wings of the hand crossbow extended, showing the weapon to be cocked and ready to fire, a poison-tipped dart set in place.
"Just a good batch, this one,"
Pericolo said with a laugh.
"You still draw well, old one,"
said Wigglefingers, who was the same age as the grandfather and had grown up beside Pericolo on Delphuntal streets. Only Wigglefingers would dare to so tease Pericolo Topolino.
"Quick enough to shoot a wizard before he casts his first spell, no doubt,"
the grandfather answered. He worked his hand on a hidden lever on the inside of the pearl-gripped hand crossbow, releasing the catch, and immediately the wings loosened. Pericolo gave the weapon a couple of spins, rolling the trigger guard around his index finger in a dramatic flare before spinning it right back into the holster.
"Good poison,"
he said again, for he, of course, had brewed it.
"This spider will sleep another day away, likely, and awaken with a mighty ache in his head, do not doubt." "Good enough for the little thief,"
said Wiggle Fingers.
A headache well deserved for his impudence. How dare he assault the home of Pericolo Topolino and a fellow halfling? Ah, but Brando Barris is surely shaking his head at that one, eh? A valuable little thief,
Pericolo corrected.
And given the agreement I forced from his father, I expect that Brando Barris would be shaking his head in disappointment had the courageous one not tried to garner a bit of extra recompense. Courageous or foolish, he had no chance of succeeding.
He is just a child, Danala reminded yet again.
She rolled her hand around, and a perfect pink pearl seemed to appear there out of nowhere. With a subtle movement, she flicked it to the wizard.
Another one worthy of enchanting, she explained. Another one from the deep water oysters our little nuisance so easily and skillfully collects.
Wiggle Fingers caught the pearl and stared at it lovingly.
Well, he does have his uses, I suppose, he admitted.
And think how long and low he might dive when you've put enchantments upon him, said Pericolo.
We have only begun to test the value of this one, I expect.
He turned to Danala, who returned his look with a sly one of her own, as if catching the hint that the grandfather might have something more in mind here.
You inspected him? From the hair on his head to the hair on his feet, she replied. His teeth as well, she added, before Pericolo could. And I used your wand upon him twice to detect any items or dwyamers. There is no magic around him.
As I suspected. Then how might he dive so deep and so long?
Wiggle Fingers asked.
His mother's blood, said Pericolo. Her family has a bit of the Ganassi in them, several generations back, so say the rumors. Apparently, Jolie Paraffin was an equally impressive diver, although she never gained enough notice outside of her small group for anyone to properly exploit her talents or to properly reward her.
Ganassi!
Wiggle Fingers said with a gasp. He thought about it for a few moments, then burst out laughing.
Planet-touched offspring of human and djinn, and now playing the eight-limbed beast with a halfling. Ah, but that's grand.
And profitable, said Danala,
and the clever pickpocket rolled her fingers around again and produced, again seemingly out of nowhere, another perfect pink pearl, of the type Pericolo's people knew how to coax from the deep-water oysters. Pink and perfect, and, because so few could get to them, quite rare. And rarer still, because Pericolo's group alone understood the true value of these particular oysters. They are